All right, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for anyone tuning in live on Twitter right now for this very special live Laying the Points, talking Super Bowl 39, is it? 59? What am I talking about? 59, 39? Super Bowl LIX coming up here in, 10 days? Pretty exciting. Chiefs and Eagles, a rematch from 2 years ago. My name is Chris Farley, for those who don't know. Farley Betts here on Twitter. I'm a professional bettor, and I've been doing this professionally for 4.5 years. We have won, I got to check my Twitter actually, but I think it's about 120 units the last 4 seasons, hitting at 55% against the spread this season. Been seeing things very clearly after about week six. Just had about 6 winning weekends in a row until this past weekend. Went down 0.6 units, so not much of a loss, but it's been a good NFL season. Before I get started here today, I just want to shout out to a few people that have supported me and been partners this NFL season. Of course, the group that joined me earlier, Jake Circus, Patrick Gates, Matt Rutledge, Maddie Saint, special guest, Tony Durbify. Maddie Saint and Tony Durbify are two Circa winners, special guests on the show. Kiev O'Neill was a special guest. Ryan Reynolds, badass Ryan Reynolds, he was also a guest on the show. The NFL Roundtable had a few good weeks earlier this season. I really enjoyed it. Ended up being a little too much for my workload with everything else I have going on, but just want to give a shout out to those boys for helping me earlier this season, bringing some nice audiences to our show and our podcast, which was also live. That was really cool to do, and I hope I have more time to do it in the future. I also want to thank Lou Finocchiaro, who is probably rolling his eyes if he hears this or sees this, because he's a humble guy. But I learned a lot from Lou this year on a weekly NFL show that I did with him at Clubhouse TV. And obviously, this was a good year for me because I won my second Circa contest. Don't think that I would have been able to do that without any of those guys that I just mentioned, because that's what it's all about, right? We learn, we add to our knowledge, we grow, we're open-minded, and good things tend to happen. Also, shout out to those who aren't complete jackasses on Twitter, because there's a lot of you jackasses on Twitter. I really appreciate questions and open-mindedness. I don't appreciate vitriol and random like negativity. Nobody needs that. Although I know that Twitter is a cesspool. So thank you to anyone who's listening and perhaps wasn't spewing at me at all this NFL season. I do things my way. You do things your way. That's cool. Hopefully we can all learn from each other. All right. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. Eagles and Chiefs, a rematch from 2 seasons ago. I love this game from a betting perspective because it presents probably my favorite betting situation. Like if you're a modeler or if your betting choices rely on largely on data points, which we all rely on data points to a certain extent, but it's going to be very hard to align yourself with the Chiefs, right? The Eagles just look better on paper. Hell, they looked better as an observer, right? If you're watching the game, Eagles just look better most of this season, more explosive, right? More convincing wins. And that all makes sense, and we'll get to more of that shortly. From a high level, besides their record, Philly lost just one more game. The Eagles are also clearly the better covering team against the spread team. 13-7 this season, 65%, compared to the Chiefs, who were just 9-10, 9-10, 47.4% against the spread. Philly's also 3-0 against the spread as an underdog. So we know how people love to look at shallow statistics like that, but it's still there, right? The Eagles are a better team against the spread this season, better team as an underdog, and they do find themselves as a short underdog in the Super Bowl, unlike last time, right? They were short favorites against the Chiefs 2 years ago. But as I've said before, I'm not a modeler. I take into account much data, a lot of data. I'm actually pretty good at math, despite what some of you might think. but you'd be hard pressed to find a pro NFL better over the past 4.5 years who's had a better results than me for the last four seasons. And that's, I've said it before on Twitter. I basically use my notes, box scores, and team rankings for my assessment. And there's plenty of data in there, right? But that's the extent of the data that I use. The rest of it is my own insight, my own analysis from watching the games themselves. That said, these are typically the scenarios where I thrive. And of course, the market refuses to be assertive on the Chiefs, right? For good reason. This was a super close game 2 years ago. Jalen Hurts played a perfect game. And Philly beat them last season, right? Two very similar teams. Of course, no Saquon last season for the Eagles. So that arguably creates an even better situation for Philadelphia. I mean, that dude is a game changer. As a Giants fan, I can attest to that. I hate the Giants right now. As a fan, right, it's a lot of love and hate. I hate the Giants right now. Hate them. Like, you couldn't be more stupid. Letting go of Saquon, who even at the beginning of the season, I was like, I don't think it's going to matter that much. Well, it would matter less if the Giants didn't give Saquon to a team in their division, for God's sake. But now look at Philly's success. I think they probably can still get here without Saquon, but very convincing with Saquon, right? And an exceptional offensive line. At a very high level, though, I think it's important to consider their schedules this season too, right? So a lot of data points, a lot of statistics are going to favor Philly. But let's look at the playoff teams that Philly has beaten this season. Green Bay, Washington, the Rams, the Ravens, and the Steelers. They lost to the Falcons, the Bucks, and in the other game to Washington. But of course, they just beat Washington in the playoffs. Compare that to the Chiefs' wins, Baltimore, the Chargers twice, Denver. We're not going to count that second game since they sat all their starters and obviously didn't want to win. Houston, Pittsburgh, and notable wins against San Francisco and Cincinnati, who we know play their absolute tails off against the Chiefs. Chiefs still beat them. So I would say that the Chiefs do have, or did have, a better, tougher schedule this season. So some of the reasons to support Philly just based on stats, they had a hard schedule in a lot of ways, but you look at their division, right? The Giants and the Cowboys were not threats this season at all. You know, those are gimme games virtually, right? And then their non-division opponents, I would say, weren't quite as good as what the Chiefs faced, although very similar. Now let's get on to the -1.5 and the money line conversation. I tweeted something out last night saying take 1.5 in every situation. Maybe I shouldn't have said take 1.5 always. That was probably the wrong words to use. Admittedly, I'm no math guru. Although, I mean, I do a lot of math every day. You have to do math in the betting industry. I'm very high level at simple math. But, you know, you start getting into all the reasons to take -1.5 or money line or all this stuff, all the quantifiable reasons. I might fall a little bit short there. But what I can tell you, which is what I tweeted out yesterday, is that 1-point margins are still exceedingly rare, right? Since 2015, only 4.4% of games have landed on one. This year, 12 games landed on one, divided by 284 total games, 12 in the playoff, right? That's including those 12 games in the playoff. And it was even less frequent, 4.2%. Now, I know we have to consider overtime, right? In the Super Bowl, in the playoffs, both teams get to possess the ball. So if this does go into overtime, you have a situation where if both teams score immediately touchdowns, then the other team could score a touchdown. You know, the second team to score, get the two-point conversion, and they would have a 1-point win. I get that. It's something to consider. But I also want to throw this out there. I want you to consider this. Last time I checked on FanDuel, which is a very friendly sports book that gives out some of the best payouts to public bettors, overtime not happening was -4,300. It was over, I think it was +1,300 for overtime to happen if you selected yes. So if you want to base your bet, your money line bet, off the very fat chance that this game not only goes into overtime, but then the additional not necessarily a very probable chance that each offense immediately scores a touchdown, you feel free. Like, I understand that. If you want to protect yourself from overtime, go right ahead. I would say you could probably also hedge, like put a tiny little bit of money on overtime happening and still take 1.5. Not much, right? Like 10 cents. It would have to be commensurate with the amount that you're losing in the value from not taking -1.5. Needless to say, I'm okay with those odds that overtime will not happen. And even if overtime does happen, the chance that both teams go right down the field and score touchdowns and the second team also either gets the two-point conversion or doesn't or goes for two, sure. It's something that can happen. I'm sticking with -1.5. And from the guys that I was taught from, some of the best sports bettors in the world, I would argue, taking the spread at -110 or better is usually, like, long-term, your profit, your bankroll is going to be treated better if you take that spread instead of paying for more at a higher price. Now, -122, -124 is what I'm seeing out there for the money line. That's still a good bet on the Kansas City Chiefs if that's the direction you're going. But if you're going to take -1.5, I'm on your side in that one. Let's just talk about these two teams briefly. Maybe some things you already know, but just to kind of highlight and summarize who they are at this point in the season. And if anyone's commenting on this show, I can't see it. Nothing is coming up on my screen. So apologies for that if that's happening. I'll try to get to those comments after the show. Anyway, if the Super Bowl was decided solely on who has done it better this season, like I said, then the Philadelphia Eagles would have a much stronger case, right? Saquon Barkley alone is a reason to love the Eagles in this situation. Over 2,000 yards rushing, didn't even play in Week 18 against the Commanders, who went right down the field and almost scored a touchdown, right? They got a field goal instead, but almost got a touchdown right away. Felt like momentum right away was kind of favoring Washington. Instantly, Saquon Barkley, with his vision, his movement, breaking tackles, following his blockers, and the Eagles' offensive line is obviously exceptional, but it's even better as a run-blocking unit. Goes right down the field, 50 yards on his very first play from scrimmage. Touchdown against the Commanders. And, you know, if that doesn't happen right away, maybe we're talking about a different game, but the Commanders had no answer for Philly and for Saquon. And, of course, Washington, not a great defense. The Chiefs, a much better defense. But it's still worth considering the difference that Saquon is going to make in this game, right? I do not think that any defense can limit Saquon Barkley in that running offense all game. There's no evidence of that this season, and that's just something that the Chiefs are going to have to combat. Jalen Hurts, I've said plenty about Jalen Hurts the past few seasons. He's an excellent quarterback in many ways. He's stoic, he's poised, he's tough. He can throw a good ball when he has protection. Do I think Jalen Hurts is fortunate to have the team and the coaches that he has around him? Absolutely. Most quarterbacks who make it this far are pretty fortunate with who they have around them. I think the difference between Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, which Patrick Mahomes is different than most, if not all, quarterbacks in the NFL because he's Patrick Mahomes. At this point, we've seen it over and over again. You may not like it, but we've seen it, is playmaking ability in the biggest, most nerve-wracking situations. Mahomes just keeps doing it over and over and over again, right? But a strength of the Eagles is still their passing game as well. I mean, when you have the wide receivers that they have, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and we're not even talking about some of the other guys, which are also good playmakers. Philly, you would think, has an advantage in all aspects of their offense. They're facing a very, very good defense and arguably the greatest defensive coordinator of all time, and Steve Spagnuolo. But still, right, there's a lot to like about the Eagles offense. Defensively, you can't state strong enough how great Vic Fangio has been for this team. Earlier in the season, they looked like maybe the Eagles are going to be the same old Eagles. I mean, last season they were terrible, especially against the pass and many metrics. I wasn't necessarily optimistic that it was going to work out. I have to consider my bias sometimes against the Eagles too, because, you know, I'm a Giants fan. I fucking hate the Eagles. But that being said, there's no denying it, right? The Eagles have allowed just 55 points in three postseason contests this season, this postseason, full season, their first place in opponent points per game, yards per play, yards per pass. They're not always as elite against the run, but they're pretty good. They're ranked eighth, just 104.4 yards allowed per game. And for what it's worth, right, the Chiefs, now they have a much better backfield at this point, right? Kareem Hunt has looked very good for them. I could have told you that, right? Like, Kareem Hunt is going to enjoy returning to KC. We're going to see the best version of him, just like we did a few years ago when he was with the team, right? He can be a dynamic playmaker. And they haven't even used Isaiah Pacheco a lot. Pacheco is a bowling ball, right? We've seen it before. So the Chiefs look better in their backfield, but the Eagles are pretty good on defense against that. If the Chiefs can establish a run, that's going to be a problem for Philly as well, because now you just completely open up the playbook for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs. But on both sides of the ball, metrics-wise, the Eagles are better. Right, that's for two very similar schedules. I give a slight nod to the Chiefs, a harder schedule, but the Eagles are better. Like, on paper, this is the better team. You'd have to go all the way back to week four to find a 300-plus yard passer against this unit. That was Baker Mayfield, threw for 334. They actually beat the Eagles in that game. But full season, only 185 yards through the air allowed per game, second place. And even against the elite trio of passers they saw in the playoffs, 245.6 pass yards allowed. So they've limited the passing game all year. Lord knows they can get after the quarterback. Jalen Carter is unbelievable. The Chiefs are going to be challenged. And the Chiefs, like I said, just don't show as well on paper. Now, 12th in points per game, 23rd in rush yards per game. You know, they're this highly touted passing attack with Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of all time, right? 19th in yards per pass. I mean, 15th in pass yards per game. It hasn't been all that impressive for the Chiefs offensively this season. Now, on defense, obviously, all season, and especially what we're seeing in the playoffs, this is a more legitimate unit, right? Top 10 in opponents' point per game, yards per game, points per play, yards per rush, red zone touchdown percentage, top 10. This is a very good defense. And they're peaking in the playoffs, right, as usual, as they almost always do. Through 10 games, they've earned 10 sacks and allowed just 414 yards through the air. And considering who they face, C.J. Stroud, Josh Allen, obviously, the guy who they lost to in the regular season, the one loss they've had, Josh Allen and the Bills, they beat them in the playoffs because this is playoff football and this is what the Chiefs do, allowing just over 200 yards through the air to those two guys is pretty damn impressive. If I'm a bettor on the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm concerned. My one concern is that Saquon Barkley poses a threat that they haven't seen before, right? No team has really been able to limit Barkley 125 rush yards per game. I'm inclined to trust Steve Spagnuolo and the defense that can adjust like arguably no defense we've ever seen in a very complicated, offensive-oriented NFL. This guy is still thriving at this point. So it's really, really impressive what they're doing over there for KC on defense. And then on the other end, you have Patrick Mahomes, right? And you just you have his mojo, his playmaking ability in the game's most pressing moments. As far as the total goes, I believe it's still at 49.5. Let me do a little checky-check on that. By the way, if you stick around, I'll give away a few free NBA plays as well on this show. I'm seeing some minus twos out there in the marketplace right now on the Eagles. Oh, no, I'm not. That was just the opener. Okay, we're down to 49 at many books as far as the total goes, which is interesting because I wouldn't think that would tick down at all. But here's my take on the total. First of all, the synergy between Andy Reid and his quarterback is second to none, right? This isn't something that we can measure necessarily. I think we see it most on third downs, right? They've completed third downs at a 48.19% clip. That's third overall this season. They're even better last Sunday against the Bills in a game where, you know, those Bills defensive players and the Bills in general, they want to beat the Chiefs more than anything in the world. Couldn't stop the Chiefs on third down. Couldn't do it. 5 for 9. Couldn't stop the Chiefs when the Chiefs were in position to score. Right? Like that's the best statistic that shows Mahomes' poise and playmaking ability is that, right? His red zone percentage, third down conversion percentage, elite. It's always been elite. They're facing a very good defense, but you have to believe, and this is a bet that I'm going to talk about later, the Eagles are very likely going to be leading in this game at first. Maybe not the first quarter, but in the first half, I would consider a bet on the Eagles. That's what they did in the previous Super Bowl. We've seen the Chiefs start slowly before. It's the same narrative where Mahomes and the Chiefs have to come back, which they're very good at. Eagles taking the first half and then the Chiefs winning the full game, that's also a bet that I took 2 years ago and won. And that's a bet that I'm probably going to take again. And you're going to get good odds with that bet. I'm not seeing that available at sportsbooks now. I took it at DraftKings last time. But I imagine that it will be available shortly. Look for that bet, because the Eagles winning early and the Chiefs winning the full game is more likely, I think, than what the odds are going to indicate. That said, the playmaking ability of the Chiefs offense when they need to make plays, the fact that they could very likely be playing from behind, and the fact that even though these two defenses are great, they would have to dominate consistently throughout this game, right? We're talking stopping Saquon in the run game. We're talking stopping Andy Reid in the best play caller of all time and all the creativity that they put out there on the field at the goal line on third downs, fourth downs. It's going to be very hard for both defenses, even though they're very good and they're going to make great plays in this game. The idea that both defenses can keep each offense to 21 to 24 points or less, I don't know. I don't see it happening. At a certain point, just like we saw in the NFC and AFC championship games, this is going to turn into Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes. Who can make the bigger plays? Saquon Barkley is going to be in the mix, obviously, along with other playmakers for the Chiefs. But that, when you have superstar offenses with that kind of talent in this situation, and there's a ton of talent on the defenses too, don't get me wrong, but in this big game situation, two offenses who have been in these situations before, this is Jalen Hurts' second Super Bowl appearance, I don't think there's going to be as much nerves. And they scored a ton of points the first time, right? Over 60 points in that Super Bowl 2 years ago. I'm not making this decision based on that Super Bowl 2 years ago. I think it's very, very likely that this goes over the total. So if you parlay the total into this game with your observations on the spread or the money line, I don't think that's a bad idea either, right? Like either both defenses preventing these offenses from scoring 10 points in the first half, 24 plus in the whole game, that would take a remarkable, remarkable effort considering the talent, the personnel on the Eagles side, and the experience, and the just like dynamic, immeasurable, unbelievable playmaking ability of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense. They're going to score. Both sides are going to score. To wrap up, and then I'll give out some NBA free plays and also the bets that I'm going to be taking in this game, some of which are not completely out yet. But again, this is a rematch from 2 years ago, as I've probably said 50 times. So the animosity is going to be there. It's going to be some fantastic energy on the field. That said, the offenses are going to take over at a certain point. And when the most pivotal moments of this game, right? This is where, like, as a handicapper and somebody who watches these games constantly and pays attention to every detail, you know, and people want to talk down to that sort of mentality, to that sort of approach to sports betting, like you have to have a model and all this shit. Listen, I've been watching professional football since I was 4 or 5 years old. Obsessed. Absolutely obsessed with the NFL, the game itself, the nuances, the personalities. I happen to think, and add to that the fact that I played sports all my life. I was in the military. I've been around men in similar communities and similar teams and seeing how certain personalities thrive under pressure and certain personalities don't. My superpower, if I have any, is observation. I'm highly observant. I perceive and I pick up on things that other people may not. And it's because I care about it. I care about people. I care about psychology. I care about sociology. I care about watching groups and their patterns. And I make notes that are probably very, very different than what most people do when they watch football games. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are definitely going to win this game. But if you're asking me to put my money on this game, which of course I will, not of course, like you don't have to bet the Super Bowl, but I feel very strongly about this, so I'm going to. I have to put my money on the Chiefs. I have to put it on -1.5 for reasons that I said before. And that is not because of talent. It's not because they looked better this season necessarily. It's because the most important player on the field is the quarterback. And this ball is going to be in Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, does not have a bum ankle in the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, he had a bum ankle. Also against a very, very good Philadelphia defense, still won the game. He's healthy. His offense is healthy. His offensive line is healthy. His playmakers are healthy. Andy Reid has not passed away from a heart attack just yet. Thank God. Take care of yourself, Andy. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes just know how to win, right? Look at, I mean, the fact that they only lost really one game this season, you can't count week 18 against the Broncos because they didn't even try. And the Bills, that was a perfect situation for the Bills at Orchard Park. Tough scheduling spot for the Chiefs. Bills took advantage, blah, blah, blah. The team just knows how to win. And in all likelihood, they're going to win by 2 or more points. I would not be surprised if this comes down to a field goal. But we're taking the Chiefs at -1.5. When that halftime, full-time bet comes out, halftime Philly wins, full game KC wins, I'm taking that as well. I'm taking the over 49.5. My top play customers got these plays earlier in the week, but I'm giving them out for free because we're at the final game of the year, for God's sake. I mean, why wouldn't I, right? What am I hiding at this point? And also, a parlay leg that I really like, no matter what you're doing, total, KC wins, Eagles win, just add a Saquon touchdown parlay leg to your bet. Why the fuck not? Excuse my language. To those who gamble on a consistent basis and are offended by the fact that I just said fuck, that's a very interesting moral compass. But sorry about that. Just add Saquon Barkley getting a touchdown to your parlay leg. This guy has the most carries in the NFL this season, which is really interesting, right? He's a new member of the team. They want to conserve his health. Didn't matter. More carries than any other running back in the NFL this season. This is what he plays for. This is what he's dreamed of. Saquon Barkley is, I don't even think it's arguable, the best athlete on the field, the most explosive athlete on the field. I think he's going to score a touchdown. And the odds suggest that as well, right? It's -190 in most books. I imagine that's going to go up. Just add him as a parlay leg to whatever other bet you make. Not all the bets you make, but at least your strongest bet. I think that's a good idea. Saquon's going to get in the end zone. The KC defense is going to be very good. He's still going to get in the end zone. Chiefs, halftime Philly, full-time Chiefs over Saquon Barkley as a parlay leg. And for those who are joining me today on Twitter, I appreciate that. Here's a few free top NBA plays that I gave out to my customers. The Knicks and the Nuggets, they are not showing any reasons why that game wouldn't go over. The Nuggets are running really fast down the court. They're 9th in tempo in January. They're the number one or number two offense, depending on the week in January. The Knicks have not played much defense all season. They don't have their Mitchell Robinson back to really fortify the paint. Jokic at Madison Square Garden. This is going to be a showcase game. The Knicks offense has looked great as well. I mean, the Nuggets are averaging over 120 points per game, folks. And they just lost to the Bulls. So they're going to be pissed off heading to Madison Square Garden. That game is going to go over. We've seen that total go up and down a little bit. Last time I saw it about an hour ago, it was still at 240. It was at 239 for a second. I would comfortably take over 240. The other bet that I would make is on the Chicago Bulls. This is actually a play that I haven't said to my top play customers yet, but I'm about to. I'm not trying to hate on the Celtics. I have hated on the Celtics in the past. I think Jason Tatum is still very soft. But the Bulls are a very, very strange team. Very strange. I mean, they beat the Nuggets straight up at home the other night. They were 9.5 point underdogs, beat them by 8. I'm not saying they're going to waltz into Boston and beat the Celtics, but the Celtics recently have lost to the Raptors, the Hawks. The Celtics are just 8-6 straight up in January. Their offense has been very inconsistent. Looks like maybe the inclusion of Kristaps Porzingis is throwing off the rhythm of their offense. These are the situations, for whatever reason, where Billy Donovan and the Bulls thrive. I'm not taking the Celtics minus 14.5. I could only look the Bulls way at plus 14.5. I haven't prescribed how many units are going to put on that just yet, but I would suggest that you take the Chicago Bulls in that circumstance. And let me find one more for you, because I know that I have another one here. The Raptors. The Raptors are minus 6.5, maybe minus 7.5 at some books now. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to read my write-up on the Raptors. The NBA is a very volatile sport, and it makes trusting the market even tougher when you have two poor programs. That being said, the Wizards and Raptors have been a little different recently because the Raptors are at least showing signs of improvement. Toronto has won 4 games in a row and 6 of their past 7. I believe it's now 7 of their past 8 with their victory the other night, including impressive wins over Golden State, Boston, and Orlando. They beat Boston by 13. What? Boston, what are you doing? The Wizards are the consensus worst team in the NBA, 6-39 and against the spread, 39.5% this season. And they've also lost 14 games in a row by an average margin of 18 points per game. Like, do you understand how bad that is? Now, maybe the Wizards randomly show up tonight. There's no evidence that the Wizards are ever going to show up. The Raptors are feeling themselves. The Raptors have a good roster. I was waiting for this team to play better. I like Darko, good coach. The Raptors, minus 6.5, minus 7.5. I would take it up to minus 8. The Raptors are going to cover this line tonight, in my opinion. That's my biggest play of the day. With that, I appreciate everybody listening. This is a different version of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name's Chris Farley, a.k.a. Farley Betts. And hopefully you win in this Super Bowl. Hopefully you take some of my bets, because I do think that we are going to win. Until next time, I'll put this on the podcast stream as well. Thank you for tuning in. See y'all later. Let's win some damn money, shall we? Okay, bye.